Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Glad you could join us today. Dr. Chris Bergwald is going to join us for the interview segment. We're talking about the Incarnation, which, of course, is very seasonal right now. We're going to talk about the Incarnation in relationship to missionary discipleship and how that impacts each and every one of us. Hope you'll stick around for that interview today. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent. Emily Leadham with the first and second reading, Deacon Roger Height with the Gospel.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. When King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies on every side, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God dwells in a tent." Nathan answered the king, "Go, do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that night the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, "Go, tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? It was I who took you from the pasture and from the care of the flock to be commander of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you, and I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them as they did of old, since the time I first appointed judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. And when your time comes, and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, to him who can strengthen you, according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret for long ages, but now manifested through the prophetic writings, and, according to the command of the eternal God, made known to all nations, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, religious education students from St. Mary of Mercy Parish in Alexandria recently conducted their annual food drive. The students went door-to-door in the region, collecting many non-perishable food items and paper products, which were then donated to the Hanson County Food Bank for distribution to families in need in that community. You can read and see more about the students and their efforts in the December edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, Republican lawmakers joined President Donald Trump in cheering passage of the most significant overhaul of the federal tax system in three decades, even as the chairman of the U.S. Bishop's Domestic Policy Committee called on the president to work with Congress to fix unacceptable problems in the new law. Republicans hailed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act as the stimulus needed to get the economy rolling into high gear as they expected corporations to reinvest in America, with the middle class benefiting from lower taxes, higher wages, and greater job opportunities. Critics contend the law will provide a windfall for people with the highest incomes and corporations that already are seeing record profits, and that there will be limited benefit to low and middle income families who will see their taxes rise beginning in 2025. Meanwhile, Bishop Frank J. DeWayne of Venice, Florida, chairman of the Bishop's Committee on Domestic Justice and Human Development, said that while the law achieves some laudable things, it also contains a number of problematic provisions that will have dramatic negative consequences, particularly for those most in need. After final passage by the House and Senate this week, the bill is on the president's desk for his signature. Catholic leaders in the Archdiocese of Seattle, Washington, and the Archdiocese of Portland, Oregon, offered prayers for all affected by this week's derailment of an Amtrak train that had just come from the Tacoma station and was headed to Portland. Our community of faith is praying for the victims and families of the train derailment, as well as the first responders and emergency personnel on the scene, said Greg Magnoni, spokesman for the Seattle Archdiocese. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thank you for that. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, I'm joined by Dr. Chris Bergwald, and it's our Christmas show, at least what amounts to our Christmas show, Dr. Chris.
I thought it was the fourth Sunday of Advent, Jerry.
Well,
come
it
on.
Is. It is, but by the time some people hear this, they may be listening online, they may be hearing the rebroadcast of the show, we're going to cover all the bases today.
That's amen.
We can talk about fourth Sunday of Advent if you like.
So
it sort of fits.
Is it Merry Christmas then, Jerry?
We can say it if you want.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Chris. It's good to have you with us on Catholic Views. Today we want to talk about really kind of, I guess it fits with Advent, but probably a little bit better with the Christmas season. I want to talk about, obviously, the incarnation, Jesus coming to us in human form. That's the proper definition, or at least a close one on what the incarnation means. But we want to talk about it in terms of what does it mean to us as this term that now is being used an awful lot in the church, missionary discipleship.
Right.
And I thought it's an interesting thing to consider what the incarnation means to us as we ponder what it means to be a missionary disciple.
Yeah. Yep. I think so often right now, of course, part of the normal things, we're celebrating Christmas and the busyness, especially when Christmas falls on a Monday. I mean, things are in the practicalities for many families, very crazy and busy. But if we can try to, as we try to every year, sit back and think about what this feast and the season we're about to begin now, or that we're just beginning the Christmas season, means. But I think, especially when you proposed earlier this month, Jerry, the idea of what does this mean for his missionary disciples, I was really intrigued by the idea.
Yeah, and I have no idea what the answer is, but I just think that if we are going to consider ourselves as missionary disciples, which we are called to do, which the Holy Father continually now is talking about, which the church in this country is more and more talking about based on the synod gathering this summer, and we know more to come on all of that, it's an important thing for us to ponder.
Yeah, I was my own. I completely agree with you, just what you just said. So, sort of just diving in a little bit, at least one particular direction. My every Advent, I try to do some spiritual reading. And for me this year, we've been talking a lot about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ,
right,
as disciples of his. I realized, I heard secondhand from somebody, something similar about the saints who are our older siblings, brothers and sisters in Christ as fellow disciples. And the advice was get to know them too. And I realized as it was the truth for me about God for a long time. I knew about God, but I didn't know him personally very well. Same thing has been true for me with the saints. So where am I going with this? Catherine of Siena is the saint who I really have sought this Advent to get to know better through reading her writings. And Jerry, she just made some beautiful comments about, so what's the connection here? The incarnation and the humility of God in becoming not just man, which is massive enough, but he could have, you know, God could have just popped into it. Jesus could have just shown up at the Jordan.
Right.
Didn't have to go through the normal process of growth, but he chose to. And the fact that we are today, tonight, tomorrow, for the couple of weeks ahead, we're going to be celebrating the fact that God took on human nature and began, just like you and I did, a helpless child, unable to speak. And this is God. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for me as I seek to grow as a missionary disciple? The way that Catherine put it in one of her letters, I was just thinking, he was silent. As a baby, he couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. And for how long was he silent? And yet he bore witness. Similarly, Mary and Joseph bearing witness, not by preaching, not by giving amazing homilies, but just the ordinary course of their daily lives. Those are just some of the things that occurred to me when I thought about this topic.
Well, and I think that's incredibly appropriate because as you mentioned, this time of year in particular, we can get so caught up in the stuff,
right?
In the events, in the what did I forget to do?
Yep.
All of the busyness, and forget about what we really are about, and that is welcoming Jesus Christ, the baby, into our lives, and then becoming his disciples.
Right, becoming his disciples. So modeling him. So how can we as adults model the witness of an infant, the infant God-man? What does that look like for you and I as grown men to try to seek to become more and more like not only the adult Jesus, but even the infant Jesus as well? And that's where the writings of St. Catherine along the lines I was just speaking of really intrigued me. I'm probably a little quick sometimes to speak. And sometimes
never notice that.
Yeah. Thanks, Jerry. I thought you were going to be nice.
On radio, it's a good thing.
That's right.
This is a compliment.
but there are. You're right. I am one of those people who I probably could learn from the silent infant Jesus a little bit more, or just again from the witness of Mary and Joseph as my big siblings as disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I Joseph is one for me that I think about all the time because, again, we live in a sense an ordinary life.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us
mm-hmm.
do. We're not out there. We're not famous. We're not doing groundbreaking work in a lot of different areas. Most of us, we're just living ordinary lives.
Yep.
And there's a power in that that I think we sometimes don't recognize.
Yep.
And that's where what you're talking about with these saints, as our, in our sense, our older brothers and sisters, can teach us.
Exactly. I think so. Joseph fits perfectly with that, and also with what I was just saying about the silence of the infant Jesus. In the Gospels, the number of words of St. Joseph's that are recorded is zero.
Zero.
Yeah. Of course, he spoke, but the gospel writers, the evangelists, don't tell us what he ever said. And I think that's probably on purpose on the Holy Spirit's part.
I think so, too.
Inspiring them, that the authors, that they never included actual words of Joseph that says something.
Yeah. For those that are less familiar or maybe aren't regular listeners and have heard us talk about this, for others, they might think it's ad nauseum. But I want to make sure we, again, go back one more time and talk about what missionary
yep.
discipleship is, because some might say, well, I get what you're talking about in a way, but what does that really mean in the bigger picture?
Yeah, so we're all called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means to be a follower. The ancient meaning of the word was pupil, but by Jesus' time, among not only the Jews of the Holy Land, but pagans as well, Gentiles, it doesn't matter. It meant to follow somebody, to mimic them.
Right.
You are the apprentice to a master, not just a student to a teacher, but really an apprentice to a master.
Could have been true in other fields of work
exactly.
as well, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So I think of ancient Greek philosophers had disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what it means to be a disciple. So to be a disciple of Jesus, we don't just want to know what he said and taught and live by those, but we want to mimic his way of life, to live the way that he did, etc. That's what it means to be a disciple. Missionary disciple is a little bit of a redundant phase. Francis even says that. I mean, to be a disciple should mean that you are a missionary disciple. But why do we emphasize that? Well, if we're following Christ and we've come to know him personally, that's why we're following him, then we should desire to share that encounter with Christ with others. Mm-hmm. If we're really following Jesus, if we're really a disciple, we would want to be a missionary as well. I had a really funny conversation last month in November. Somebody who was trying to grow as a missionary disciple. And, I said, it doesn't mean you have to go. And I was going to say to like China or Saudi Arabia. Did I tell you about this?
She said
to Texas. I said, well, sure. Yeah. No, you don't have to go to Texas even.
If you feel called. But,
so often to be a mission, go ahead.
It's at home.
It's at home.
Yeah.
We talk about working the plot of the vineyard that we're called to work. Usually we're already standing in it. We don't have to go hundreds of miles. We don't have to go very far at all to find the field that we're called to harvest. We're in it.
I do think that this time of year is a great time to be thinking about this with some intentionality, and that's another word that often gets used with discipleship is intentional, to be intentional about it. But I don't think most of us are naturally or normally intentional about our faith. For whatever reason, we just don't take the kind of time to think about it in the way that we should. This is a great time of year to do that.
It is. And to be fair to us, Jerry, I don't think we're naturally intentional about anything.
Hmm.
We have to decide. The nature of being intentional means you have to decide, I'm going to do this.
I guess that's true.
So I don't think we should expect ourselves to be intentional about our faith accidentally. You can't really. But you're right. It's a good time. I loved, the Bishop's Bulletin theme for this year. The start of the church year was with Advent, but now we're about to come to the calendar year. And I think it's a great time, if you haven't already, with the beginning of the church year early this month, maybe now with the beginning of the new calendar year, you can think about, how can I be more intentional about my discipleship?
Mm-hmm.
My go-to way lately has been praying more.
And that's, I think, important that we talk about that, because we know people that are listening to this program are at all kinds of different places on their faith journey. They may not even be on a faith journey that they're aware of.
Yep.
And so I think it is important for us to talk a little bit about what that might look like for different people at different stages of their life. So let's start with the very beginning. If I am a person who has not been a particularly faithful or active religious person, what might I do if I feel a little tinkling that I maybe ought to do something?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I would say that almost certainly that is God's grace working in you right now. If you become aware, like there's a little itch at the back of your mind, so to speak, be attentive to that. But okay, so be attentive. What does that mean? What are you saying, Chris, that I should do? Well, maybe if you're already Catholic, maybe go to Mass, go to confession if it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to, a lot of people, I've talked to more than one person who's been away from the church for a long time, and they have an idea that it's really complicated to come back.
Right.
And I said, it's great news. All you have to do is go to confession.
That's really it.
That's all. And no special form of there's not like a confession. Is it distinguished by
right.
How long you've been away, how long it's been.
The line doesn't divide.
Right. So if you're Catholic already, it's super easy. And maybe you're not ready for that. Just go to Mass. Just do that simple
stuff. Sit in the back.
Yep.
If you can get yourself in the door.
Yep.
Maybe that's all you can do.
Yep.
To start with.
Yep.
Start there.
Yep. Start there. I, of course, our priests love to have the conversations with folks like that,
mm-hmm.
where if you've been away for a while, our priests, whether it's inside the confession or outside, and I think, Jerry, a lot of people, Catholics, even those who are more regular Mass goers and so on, have this idea that our priests are somehow unapproachable or something. That thing could be further from the truth. Just call the parish office and say, set up an appointment. I'd like to visit with Father.
Yep.
At a time that works for you and for him, he would love to visit with you. I can say that categorically about all of our parish priests.
I think that's fair. If you're not Catholic and you're hearing this and you go, Maybe there's something I ought to look into. What do I do?
So I think a similar thing, obviously maybe not confession yet, but go to Mass, sit in the back and get familiar with it. Maybe it was the parish priest. But also, if there's a Catholic that you know, and I'm guessing if you're feeling this urge, this if you've got the itch, there's probably a Catholic who you know. Maybe just start to ask them, you know, what is it about your questions about the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
Feel free. Again, your parish priest, excuse me, or myself. I mean, there's some anonymity sometimes that people like where you can just call on the phone and ask questions.
Right.
Give us a call at the diocese, and we're happy to answer any questions you might have.
I get some. I see the email that comes to the diocesan website.
Yep.
There's occasionally some that come to the website. Feel free to do that.
Yep.
It's very anonymous. It can be very anonymous if you choose it to be so.
Yep.
And we're happy to try to help you in that way. What about if I'm just not even able to get myself to church? What if I just talk to the big guy? Is that okay?
So I think I did say earlier, I think prayer is a big thing. So
just but I'm not a prayer. I've never been a prayer. So what? How do I don't even know how to start there. I don't know how to start. What do I do?
Talk to the big guy, and it's just that.
It is, isn't
now,
it?
Now, it is. It might be a little bit odd if you've never been a prayer before. You might feel like you're talking to yourself. Because frankly, sometimes I've been a prayer for a long time, and sometimes I feel like I'm talking to myself. But yeah. I know that's not the case.
No, there's an intentionality that, that is required, I think.
And you know,
That I want to speak to God.
Yep. There's an author, a speaker, Peter Kraft, who he wrote what he called it the Skeptic's Prayer. God loves the prayers of everyone. I think he especially loves the prayer of the skeptic because it's an honest prayer. It can be, Lord, I don't know if you really exist, but if you do, and then you fill in the blank.
Whatever it is. Yeah. And I would just say from experience, my own experience, you may not feel a big difference immediately, but I'll guarantee you, if you look backwards after, if you're faithful with that, just simple prayer like that, look back after a few weeks, you'll be surprised.
Yeah, I think, give it some time, just do it a little bit every day, just a simple heartfelt prayer like that every day. And you're right. I think you a little time goes by and you look back and you might be surprised.
You might be surprised. All right. Now, what if I'm a little bit deeper into my faith? What if I'm, I'm pretty regular about attending Mass and I'm maybe even involved in the parish a little bit, but now I hear this talk about intentional discipleship, about missionary discipleship, and I go, well, what does that mean for me?
Right.
Am I called to something more?
Right.
You mean I got to do more?
So this is where, going back to the word that I used earlier and the word that we've used a lot on Catholic Views over the last few years, relationship. If this is a relationship, then you tell me. If this is a relationship, and if I said to my wife, you mean I got to do more in this marriage thing?
Wait, I've been at this all these years. I got to do more.
It's more. What are you asking? Are you impose these rules on? No.
Yeah.
We do get this idea. A lot of Catholics have this idea, and I get it in many ways. But that our faith is about rules and ritual and so on. Just at the very surface level, that's true. But if you look deeper, it is really about a rich relationship. And like any relationship, either I'm growing closer, we're growing closer, or we're growing further away. There's no standing still.
I really like that, Chris. And I think that actually helps me even as I think about this. Because if I am in relationship, healthy relationship, I automatically want to do something.
Right.
I automatically understand that there's some framework around this and maybe there's even some rules or some guidelines that are going to help me go even deeper.
Right.
That's all we're talking about.
That's all we're talking about. Everything that looks like rules and ritual and regulation, if it is even that for real, is about helping me grow in relationship, a real rich relationship with God. I think the key for me, Jerry, if you're somebody who's pretty faithful, pretty regular, it's the interplay of knowledge and love. You can't love what you don't know, and the degree to which you love, you want to know more. And so if you are faithful, maybe getting involved in a Bible study, maybe looking at the catechism a little bit. It can be an intimidating book to look at. If you ever have seen a copy, it's certainly a thick book, but what has God revealed to us through his son in the church about who he is and what he desires for us? If I'm going to love God above all else with all my heart, soul, strength, and so on, maybe I need to do a little bit more learning as a disciple of his son.
I want to go back now as we have just a couple minutes left, Chris, and go back to where we started, and that is the interplay of missionary discipleship and the incarnation, and really focus on the incarnation so that we understand what it is we're talking about. I appreciated so much what you said about the saints. I think that's a part of what we're saying today, but help us now to kind of wrap this up, if you will. The sense of the incarnation, which we celebrate now in this Christmas season.
Yep. So we're celebrating now the birth of Jesus Christ. So that means that we, as Christians, what we believe and have believed for 2,000 years is that the creator of the cosmos became one of us. And that 2,000 years ago, in a stable outside of Bethlehem, a tiny newborn boy was and is still God himself. And if that does, even Jerry, as I'm saying that to you now, I want to pause and give dead air. I'm not going to. It's bad radio.
You'd like to drop the mic.
I would. But if that doesn't give me pause to sit back and think and just be in awe, it's the third joyful mystery. It's one of the mysteries of the Rosary for a reason. We should be awed by it. I'm not always awed by it. I live, breathe, and teach this for a living.
Right.
But I'm not always awed by it the way that I should be. In the celebration of Christmas, we're celebrating the fact that this little baby was God himself. And I should be awed by that. And for me right now, as I'm telling you, Jerry, it just makes me want to get to know him even more. And again, to share that relationship with other people. How can you not be moved by a God who such humility became a tiny baby in his mother's womb and then was born in a manger? In the feeding trough for animals. What does that say about this God who loves us so deeply?
It says a lot.
It says a lot.
There's a lot to think about. And again, I want to encourage our listeners, wherever you're at, if you're not on a journey yet, if you are in the faith journey, wherever you're at, pick it up a little. It's an opportunity. This moment, this Christmas season is a moment to reflect, to dig deeper, and to grow.
Grow in relationship.
All right. Chris Bergwald, thanks again for being with us on Catholic Views.
You bet, Jerry.
Well, Gene, as most people are hearing us this morning, it's the tricky day.
It is.
It's the fourth Sunday of Advent in the morning, and it's Christmas Eve in the evening.
Exactly. So there is plenty of time to pray and to organize your day so you can get to church a maximum number of times.
Most of all, though, we wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a very blessed and Happy New Year as well.
Amen.
All right. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us, and we hope you will join us again